I want to talk tonight to us about living out of our spirit, living out of our spirit, but in doing so, talking about the sanctification and the renewing of our soul, our mind, and our emotions, especially tonight, our emotions. Your emotions can be a very powerful tool in your life. Our emotions are given to us of God, but yet, because of obviously the way we've been trained in that, many times our emotions are, we find them working against us. And if we respond to things out of an emotional realm and out of the soul realm rather than from our spirit, then if we're not careful, we get ourselves in trouble. We make wrong decisions, wrong choices. We post wrong things on Facebook. Did I say that? Did I say Facebook? But you know what I'm saying? It's because of our emotions. We look at things through and in our emotions rather than, as Pastor Hagin said again this morning, what does the Word say about that? What does the Bible say about that? Now, let's look here first of all in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for just a moment. Now, we're not talking about becoming an emotionalist or somebody without emotions. That's not what the Bible ever says. No, we take everything and we sanctify it. We set it apart. We bring it into obedience to the Word of God. And so our emotions are a powerful tool for us and a great benefit. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now he said, sanctify you wholly, not H-O-L-Y, not holy as God is holy, but your entire being, all of you, be sanctified. And then he tells us that we are spirit, soul, and body. And we've been taught and to know that we are spirit beings. We have a soul, our mind and our emotions, and we live in a body. Now, we're very familiar with our body, right? How many of you have talked to your body, or your body's talked to you today? I'm sure it has. But the spirit and the soul are a little bit harder to define and to separate, but it is done through the Word of God. But first of all, let's talk about this. Each part of us, each part, the spirit, the soul, and the body, has a voice that we pay attention to. Now, the voice of the new created spirit, the born-again spirit of man, is the conscience. The New Testament talks about the conscience of man. All right? That's that inner voice, that inner guide, okay, down on the inside. Now, our spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit, and so we understand that when we're led by our spirit, we're being led by the Spirit of God down there. But our spirit talks to us, and it's our conscience. And one thing we have to learn is never violate your conscience. Don't do that. The Bible says you can so sear your conscience that you put a hole in it. Like you do something and you take a hot poker and poke that conscience like a piece of, you know, skin. It just makes a hole in it. Now, God can repair that, but if you live with that holder, you're going to have an area in your life that the Bible says you'd be hardened to it. Okay? And it's an open invitation to the devil to come in and wreak havoc in our life. Okay? Well, then we have our soul has the voice of reason where we think. Thank God, don't do away with that. Okay? Keep that. Keep that voice, but it has to be renewed. But then also the voice of the soul is the emotions. Our emotions are found in our soul realm. And then the body has the voice of our flesh, our desires, our wants, you know, that's unfortunately, and feelings, you know, our feelings as far as what we feel, five physical senses, what we see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. And that's probably the easiest part for us to identify and understand. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. I want to show something here in relationship to the soul. The soul is not something that you can see. Like the spirit, it resides on the inside of man. But I think we need to understand that I am a spirit. I have a soul. and I live in a body. My spirit is to be in control of my three-part being. Here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. So he made the body of man formed out of the dust of the ground. I heard a youth pastor one time preach a sermon to the youth about what are you going to do with your dirt? And it was about presenting your body a living sacrifice to God. But we're formed out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So without the inner part of man, there is no life to this body. Okay? There is no life. It was just a body. It was God literally, and I don't know, you know, how he did that, breathed into his nostrils, but God took what was inside him and breathed it into the man, that body. And so he put himself inside, and that body became a living soul, it says there. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And so, you know, a lot throughout church history and a lot of teaching, there hasn't been much taught about the difference between the spirit of man and the soul of man. In fact, a lot of people think it's the same, a lot of different, and I will agree it's the inner part of man, but there is a difference between your spirit and your soul. And the Word of God tells us that. But here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, just to read that. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I think the greatest place that the word of God acts as the divider of spirit and soul is when you're struggling to hear God and to know if this is God or this isn't. And you take the Word of God and you say, okay, what's the Word say about this? Because the Word and the Spirit are always going to agree. And so if I've got thinking and emotions that are contrary to what the Word says, then the Word has just divided spirit and soul. You see that? And so our emotions, you know, like I've said, they're very, very powerful. And a lot of times our emotions can sound just like our spirit. And you get emotionally, you know, you get emotionally involved with something and you can almost talk yourself into that being God. The spirit and soul work very closely together. And as we said, sometimes it's hard, but what does the Word say about that? It's the only thing that can answer that question for us. And so the more time we spend in God's Word, the more accurate we will be in being able to be led by the Spirit and following the voice of our spirit rather than our emotions. And it becomes easier to discern between soul and spirit. See, if we live in our soul realm all the time, then we're going to be governed by that. And I think probably there's a good number of folks that do that. I know, you know, I've got, and it's not, my children remind me that I don't really have that many friends just because it has a number on Facebook that says you have 5,000 friends. You don't really have 5,000 friends in a sense. You know, you might have 10 friends and 4,990 stalkers on your social media. But you understand what I'm saying. But, they only let you have 5,000, and because of the school and everybody, and that, and the people I've met overseas and that type of thing. So I've got two sites going right now. Well, I don't really have that many friends. But I would say that I would give it a majority of my, at least on my news feed. Now, if you're not on Facebook, you have no idea. I'm talking a foreign language to you right now. But on my news feed, I would say the majority of the people on my news feed are governed by their emotions more than they are their spirit. And if you get real emotional and you're really governed by your emotions on my newsfeed, then I stay your friend, but I might just unfollow you because I don't have time to get into all that with you. But you get emotionally involved. And you get Christians, you can tell they're emotionally involved because they're saying things that are totally against the Word of God. But they're, as my son would say, spewing it out. right? It's coming out of, but it's totally against the word of God. But they are so emotionally attached to that that they cannot separate themselves from it, because the word's not there to do it for them. They're ignoring the word. So the more we ignore God's word on any subject, the more we're going to walk in our soul and our emotions, you see, and in our own thinking. Now, how many of you proved that you could do on your own thinking? And it didn't measure up, did it? The rest of you, bless your heart, you're a master thinker. We got some geniuses in here. Let's look over at Romans chapter 12. So, I know then that I have to renew my emotions, my mind, my soul has to be renewed from to think God's way. And I can't. You can start thinking God's word. It can be the first thing you think. What does God's word say about that? The Bible said that the Holy Spirit would bring things to our remembrance. Now, thank God there's times that he can bring things to you don't know. But did you notice he said remembrance. I say it this way. This isn't good English. But if he's going to bring it to your remembrance, you got to put it in your remembrance. If it's re, it had to have been there before. All right. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. So there's the body, the flesh part of man. And, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, renew your mind. You can also renew your emotions. Your mind and your emotions are tied together. They're part of the soul. And really, your emotions trigger certain thoughts, certain attitudes. Amen. Anybody ever told you got a bad attitude? No testimonies. But you got a bad attitude or something of that sort? You know, somebody said your attitude going into a situation determines the outcome of it more of a time than the circumstances that happen. Whatever attitude you take into this situation, attitude is a mental as a mindset that you carry with you ahead of the event. That's your attitude. It's ahead. See, that if I've got a mindset that all things are possible to him that believes and all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called into his, according to his purpose, then I carry that into the situation. Then no matter what the circumstance is there, my belief is and my attitude is somehow this is going to work together for my good. I don't know how. And so I'm not going to sweat it. Now, if my emotions, see, if you're led by emotions, then you're up or down depending on the circumstances of your life. Now, this is so tied into, a big part of this is tied into knowing who you are. Hallelujah. Knowing who you are. If we took everything away from you that had to do with this world, if we took it all away from you, if just in one moment it was all wiped out, who would you be? Well, you should be the same person you were before all that, because you're in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm in Christ. Amen. But a lot of people, you know, you see it with athletes a lot. When the game's taken away from them, in other words, at that level they've been used to competing, and that game is taken, they can no longer do it for whatever reason. When that's taken away from them, they don't know what to do with themselves, because all that they were was tied up in what they did. Now see, what's that? That's emotions. That's not right thinking. Now as Christians, we can do that too. You see it with ministers. I know when I worked in the alumni department and RMAI department, some things happen and something gets sticked, and you have ministers. I'm not a pastor anymore. They don't know who they are. Now, to Pastor Marvin here, when he had gone up to, we were driving up to Illinois. My mom and dad wave at everybody. They're right there. Praise the Lord. They're here for the, mom was here for the conference. And dad gets to tag along. So, and then she'll do it again in November probably when the men's conference comes. But anyway, we were going home around Christmas time, I think, to do Christmas with family. Manna's family lives up there too. At that time, Marvin and Leah had gone to Mattoon and were pastoring there. And I remember I called you on the phone to say, hey, I'm in Illinois. What are you doing? How are you? You know? And I asked you, well, what's the Lord been telling you? And you told me this, and I have never forgotten it. Said, well, the Lord asked me a question. I said, Marvin, Would you be a good Christian if you weren't in the ministry? I said, that's nice, Marvin. I got to go. So I had to think about that. And I hear that. I hear you. I hear his voice. There'll be times I'll hear his voice say that. Well, would you be a good Christian if you weren't the dean of Rhema? Would you be a good Christian if you weren't on pastoral staff at Rhema Bible? Would you be a good Christian? If we took everything away from you, would you still be a good Christian? Because that's what it boils down to. Now see, I've got, in order to do that, I've got to live out of my spirit and not out of my emotions. Glory to God. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't know how God does with you, but if I hear somebody say something and it really drops in, whenever I hear it again, I always hear their voice. I don't know how many times Brother Hagin interrupts my thinking process, but I'll hear him say something I heard him say way back. Sometimes it happens, especially in teaching in the school here, teaching some of the subjects, you know, you're teaching along and because you were a student at one time there and you heard it, and so you hear that person. I will never forget hearing, and I can hear him and I can see him right now, Cooper Beatty saying that if the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that if you say you love God but don't love the people, he said, how can you say you love God and don't love the people God said you created? He took his hand, he said, your love for God can only rise as high as the person you love the least. I have never forgot him saying that. Ever forgotten him to say that. Amen. And I've heard that voice say that. When I'm really reasoning my way out of being of loving somebody, when emotionally I'd really not like to walk in love right now. Amen. I've heard his voice sometimes. Save me, glory to God. Save me, because it makes me. Because I want to. I don't know about you. I love God, but in order to do that, I got to love you. Pray for me. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start in verse 3. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, we're in this flesh, right? In order to be on this earth, you got to be in this flesh. But we don't war. In other words, we don't operate according to our flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, the King James says. Now, in my Bible, I've got a little note here. It's the letter I. Look down here in letter I. It says, or reasonings. Remember, the voice of the soul is what? Reason and emotions. So casting down imaginations or reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, put it right, make it right. Now, what's he said, especially verse 5 here, casting down every reason. In other words, taking that thought, taking that emotion and really taking time to do an examination of it. Why did what somebody said to me, or why did what I read in the paper, or why did what I read on social media, why did that stir up that emotional response in me? And bring it captive to what the Word of God has to say, and take it out, and it's almost like taking it out of you and looking at it and saying, okay, what's the Word say about you? All right? Why? Why did I let that? Because here's the thing. If I can figure out what you get emotionally worked up about, I can control you. Now, we ought to know that. Dear Lord, all you do is watch these commercials during political season and elections and know, and you have to realize that's what they're trying to do, is find what emotionally will move you to do something. Now, emotions, see, that's when the power of emotions, they will move you to action. Jesus was moved with compassion. Right? He had pity on the multitude. He was moved by that. Emotions will move you. Well, do we want to move in God's way, or do we want to move in our own way, see? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we could say this then. One of the great determining factors with emotions and with our reasonings, and how do we control that, is that we let the peace of God be the determining factor. Now go over to Colossians chapter 3. You say, well, peace is an emotion. No, it's not. Peace is not an emotion. Neither is joy, neither is love. They are forces of the Spirit. We don't have time to turn Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace is a spiritual force. It's not an emotion. Because the world's peace is for a lot. But Jesus said, my peace I leave to you, not as the world gives, but I give unto you. Biblical peace that's a spiritual force allows you to have peace in the midst of everything going on around you. It's not based on the circumstances. It's in spite of the circumstances. I mean, you can quite literally have all hell breaking loose in your life and you stand there in the spiritual force of peace and the joy of the Lord be in your strength and loving people that are causing all the problems in your life. Because why? Love, joy, peace. What's the next one? Patience. Being the same regardless. See, sameness, just constant. All those great things are forces of our spirit, not, and of the Spirit of God, not of our emotions. Now here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, we'll read this. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now let's stop and talk about that for a moment. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. The Weymouth translation says, let the peace which Christ gives settle all questionings in your heart. I think it's Amplified, it says, let the peace of God act as an umpire. An umpire. Well, if you're involved with sporting events at all or have ever played sports, you realize there's some type of an official, a referee, an umpire that's there. That's enforcing the rules the best they can as they see them. You know, if you want me to get emotional, that's where I get emotional, all right? Bless their hearts. And part of the problem is I used to be a player and I used to be an official, and I just can't understand how you could have ever been any and not have seen that. And yes, and I just got emotional when I talked about that. So, thank God. But the peace of God rule as an umpire. Well, what does an umpire say? Well, that's fair or that's foul. Right? It says that goal's good or it's not. Whatever the case might be, you see. All right? And so that's what the word. Now, and how do we do that? Well, look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, the way that we're going to let the peace and follow peace is by being filled up with the Word. And when we're filled up with the Word, then we can yield to the Spirit. That's why, see, when you're full of the Word and you're teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, notice that it said spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart, Lord. You're answering this situation not out of your mind, not out of your emotions, but out of your spirit. Whenever life happens, and life happens to everybody, don't answer out of your flesh. Don't answer out of your mind and your emotions. Answer out of your spirit. You see, act and move based on what your spirit's telling you to do. Now, this isn't something that only preachers do. This is for everybody. And it's not any easier for the preacher to do than it is for you. This is something all of us are able to do. Glory to God. Now here's the thing. Peace, God's peace, doesn't change. God is unchangeable. How many of you know your emotions change? Give emotions some time and it'll change. But peace stands the same over time. You know, it's just like a young person that starts to date someone and, you know, they think that person knows that's the greatest person in the world. And a lot of times you give it some time and their emotions change. Amen. That's why you can't be buried. Don't be buried. I was going to say be married based on, and it came out buried. That wasn't a Freudian slip or any of that stuff. You cannot be married based on an emotional decision. Because those emotions will change. Married folks, where are you? Ever change in your life the emotions of you know? If you're going to just enter into that marriage and sustain that marriage based on the emotion of worldly love, No. Now here's something, listen to me. Here's one of the problems with emotions that are not renewed, and because emotional responses will always make it about you and will always cause you to be selfish. If I do it by my emotions, because my emotions are going to cause me to always protect myself and always push you away unless you do something for me, then you're welcome. But if you don't do something for me, then I'm going to push you away because my emotions are selfish unless they are renewed. You see, that's why we have to, if you're going to be married, do it by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. That doesn't mean, you know, you walk around and you have, well, what does that mean? I pray in tongues? Well, that'll help you. Amen. You know, many thoughts come to our mind, and it's a good thing to check things out. Thank God we've got a down payment on our final redemption, but this body's still here. And our mind and our emotions can be influenced by many factors. You know, one of the powerful is music. Music's a powerful influencer. And, you know, that's why I've read some things, but, you know, because people, the entertainers know a lot, you know, they've studied some of that stuff. And I was talking to this one guy that before he got saved, he was a lounge singer. And he'd go in these little, you know, little lounges and bars and dives and that and sing, you know. Well, you know, a lot of times, I don't know if you've been in some places, the music's just background, right? It's just there. Well, this guy has got his little glass jar there, and he's not going to make any money because the bar's not paying him, really. He's not making any money at that lounge unless he can get people to put money in there. Well, in order to do that, he's got to get a hold of their emotions. Amen. And sing about how their dog got run over, you know, and grandma got run over by a reindeer, and, you know, the whole thing, and get people emotionally into that. And then when you can get in their emotions, you can get into their pocketbook. You can get into their checkbook. You can get into their, you see what I'm saying? You can get in their debit card or whatever the case might be, emotionally. Unfortunately, I've seen preachers try to do the same thing. So I always appreciate Pastor Hagin. I'm not going to, you know the scriptures. Here's the need. If you want to give, give. If you don't, well, I don't care. Right? I always appreciate that about this ministry. But I've seen a traveling minister get up on the last night of a meeting that had gone really well, but get up on that last night of the meeting and cry and squall and bawl about, oh, if you give, you know, told a story about little Johnny. Think little Johnny came up to him and I'm making up name now, but this is the story. Came up to him after service and thank you for writing that book and preaching that sermon. My daddy was hooked on this and that, and because of that, he got delivered. And if you give tonight, there'll be more little Johnny. He starts squalling and bawling going on, you know. Graduate of this school here. And where you learn stuff like that? Well, I know this. That was the last time that pastor ever had that, and he was a friend of his, ever had him at that church. So you can't misuse. I can't play on your emotions to get you to do something. If I do that, now listen to me. That's really what the Bible describes as witchcraft, and that's a whole other story. But if I try to influence you with anything other than the Word of God, then I'm playing on your emotions. And that's not right. Okay? The only thing that can influence you, and you should make up your mind, Lord, help me. I want to be influenced by your word only. Now, we're going to have this soul throughout eternity. Soul and spirit work close together. And, you know, that's why, you know, it comes to manifestations of the Holy Spirit and learning to follow the leading of our spirit in our own life. And that's why, you know, it's a whole lot better to try things and to test things out in your private times with the Lord than it is to do it out in public. Amen. And a lot of times, you know, things happen. And I told this story the other day to the, I think I was in teaching in class, but I'll tell it. We'll kind of end with this tonight. You know, emotions, you can get caught up in emotion. And there's nothing wrong, you know, Brother Hagin talked about starting out in the flesh and ending in the spirit. As long as you get over to the spirit. But you can do something emotionally, you know, and just, it's just all emotion. And there's nothing wrong with that per se, but All right? So it's camp meeting 2010. You know, I think Mark Hankins is running around the auditorium stepping on pews and on people and whatever he does, you know. Well, I'd come down here and meet another minister. I was sitting down here. I was sitting back there, but I came down here, was sitting on the pew, and because this guy and I, we'd been talking about something. I went down there and said something. Well, we both started laughing. You know, we're just laughing and having a, you know, just laughing about it. And you get to laughing, and then you kind of get silly, you know what I'm saying? And, well, I didn't see him coming, but Brother Mark came along, and he slapped the other guy, and he slapped me upside the head. Well, you know, I thought, I don't know. I haven't run for all. Let's just go run. So I jumped up. I wasn't in the spirit. There was nothing spiritual about it. I jumped up and ran up those stairs right over there from there. I got two steps across this platform, and I thought somebody ran up behind me and kicked me in the back of the leg. But that's not what happened. My Achilles tendon and my calf muscle tore completely apart. I hit the deck. I've never been in so much pain. I've had injuries. That hurt. So I'm up there. And now, at that time, the choir stand was over here. I'm crawling on all fours, because I don't know if I can walk. I'm definitely not in the spirit. I'm going to tell you that right now. I get in the back. I finally figured I shuffled in the back, you know, down like this. I get back there. Rich King's back there, you know, our beloved worship leader, Rich King. I walk in there. Half my shirt tail's untucked. You know, I'm all disheveled. He just busts up laughing. I'm in pain. It hurts. I said, somebody go out there and get my wife. I've got to go to the hospital now. So I'm at the hospital. I'm getting text messages from all these people. Oh, praise God, Brother Tad, for obeying the Spirit of God. When you jumped up there and ran and the Holy Ghost knocked you over, then I saw videos later. It's on video. When I hit the deck, there was all this. There was a whole group, and most of them were students or alumni, people that I had in class. They're all over here. They all took off running. Woo, like, you know, woo, that was God. No. I'm there asking for painkiller. It took him a while. Remember how long it took him? I said, this hurts. Hello? Went to the doctor the next day, and he said, they told me, he said, but you better go to, so I went and got it looked at, and yep. So he said, I just don't understand. I told the one guy, I said, well, brother, you know the Bible says the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, I've run it other times and been in the spirit, just, you know, no problem at all. But I'll guarantee you that time that was all emotion. And the fact that people took off running after it thinking it was spirit shows me how much we live in emotions and not out of our spirit. But we don't have to. Amen. That's enough said about that. Let's all stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If I'm the only one that ever stepped out in emotion rather than the spirit, then I don't know. But I think I'm in good company here tonight. It's all right. Mark Hankins came back in the next service. I was back there on crutches, and he said, I told you all you need to stretch before these Holy Ghost meetings. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, our prayer team's going to go ahead and come on down. They're here tonight. And how are they going to pray with you? According to the Word of God. Why? That's what gets results. That's addressing your situation out of the spirit realm when you address it from the Word of God. So it doesn't matter what it is. If you need prayer, ladies, come to the ladies over here. Men, come to the men over here. And they'll pray with you according to God's Word, as we said. We're so glad that you're here. Do we have any first-time guests, Brother Bill, tonight? Okay. All right. Everything, we clear? Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Be right here. Pastor Hagin will be here with a great message for us. Shake hands with several people tonight. Tell them you love them before you go. God bless you. We'll see you. Amen.